Friday, February 11th, 2005.
This is the Geek News Central podcast coming to you live.
This is the only way forward.
From historic Ford Island, Honolulu, Hawaii. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, it's a wonderful Friday at TGIF, baby. All right, let's get it on. Have we got a show for you tonight? I have got a lineup of news. Oh, you better stand by because I got a lot to talk about tonight. But hey, we've made some changes again, and I got some good tips from my a good friend out in New York who puts on the Point podcast. If you guys haven't been listening to that, you need to. He's got a lot of great audio tips. And if you've noticed, the levels are a little lower today. It is on purpose because what we have found out is that podcasters pretty much universally have been recording their podcast at almost -0 dB or -1. And we were doing the same thing, thinking that more gain was better. But in fact, what was happening was we were drowning, or basically any of you that were listening to us on a car radio or in, in your house on your stereo, you couldn't turn it up very loud without getting saturation and having your speakers pop. So let us know. We really want to know from you today how the sound sounds tonight. Now, something else that's new is all my servers are still running. They're all up. I got fan noise galore, but I think we've got enough isolation in the room that we won't have an issue. But let us know if you hear the fan noise. I had to leave the servers up tonight because my bulletin board system is getting hit pretty hard right now, hit-wise, and we'll talk about why, what happened there, and a post that I put up on my BBS kind of drove that. But what I did want to do tonight, I put an intro out on openpodcast.org, and I got some feedback from it. A lot of you really loved it. I know some of you have not heard it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the intro that we're going to be posting after every show on openpodcast.org. So check it out. Let us know what you think.
Your attention, please. A new edition of the Geek News Central podcast is online now. Be sure to visit www.geeknewscentral.com to subscribe or pick up the latest show. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 to have your comments heard. Or call the host directly on Skype. His Skype call sign is Geek News Central. As always, this is a show you are not going to want to miss. Once again, a new podcast by the geek at Geek News Central. www.geeknewscentral.com is available now.
Oh, do you like that intro? We like it. So if you want, we're going to put that up on the website. We're going to put that out as a link. If you guys, if any of you out there are podcasters and you want to play that for me, please do so. But we really love that intro. And I'll also put up a link to the gentleman who did all of these sweepers for me. And they turned out great. We really loved them. But hey, something we're going to do that we're going to start, and I kind of got an idea today. A lot of you, matter of fact, 212 of you have gotten Gmail accounts. Some of you were directly from the BBS. I mean, excuse me, some of you were from the website, Geek News Central, and some of you got them because of the last podcast. I still have more. So if you haven't gotten a Gmail account yet, please send me an email at geek@geeknewscentral.com, and we'll send you an invite. There's no reason why every Geek News Central podcast listener cannot have a Gmail account. So I've got plenty of them. Just send me an email. But out of those 212, you guys sent me a lot of great comments. We really appreciate the feedback, and it kind of motivated me this week. You know, I was real happy real happy with those. Now, along with that, some of you have discovered a couple of the websites that I have kind of put up. I put some links to them and not really advertise them too much, but there is a website up called podcastconnect.com. If you go to podcastconnect.com, you're going to see that I am launching a family of websites that are going to be populated little by little. I've got some people that I'm going to be working with, some podcasters and some industry people. So if you're thinking about doing a podcast, you're going to want to head over to Podcast Connect. And those of you that are going to want to do a podcast, check out Podcast One. Of course, we've got the techpodcast.com site. We have Podcast Alley up in there. Chris over at Podcast Alley. He's going to be part of our family. He is an independent entity. He does not, I do not own Podcast Alley, but Chris is, I invited him on board because I really love the work that he's doing with his site. Now, if you have something going on with a group of podcasters that you're dealing with or have something that you want to get going with podcasting, we'd love to hear your ideas and invite you into the Podcast Connect family. And hopefully we'll be able to build kind of a consortium here, and there'll be a bunch of individual efforts and kind of a centralized place for professionals and people that are looking to launch podcasts along with Podcast Connect, that they're going to be kind of the parent behind the Podcast Awards this year that we're going to kick off in June. So a lot of exciting stuff. And hey, I got some more. I got the doozy of an announcement coming. I know some of you have been holding off and waiting, finding out when's this announcement going to come. It's coming. And we do have a doozy of announcement still coming. Okay, what happened today? Everyone knows that my cable, my broadband connections had issues. So Time Warner was out of the house, and a nice lady came out, and she came up into my office and, of course, unplugged my cable line and plugged her meter in there. And me being a geek, knowing all about spectrum analyzers and O-scopes, you know, I got a lot of experience doing that. She says, oh, you're right on the edge of being optimal. We need to look at your wiring in this house. So I'm in a smart home, and when the contractor built the house, he wasn't so smart. They use this real cheap amp in the distribution system downstairs. So her and I talked about it. She really couldn't touch it because of the development I'm in, even though it's kind of a funny deal on the situation with the house. But I'm going to go out and order a amplifier for the house and basically have them come back and try to make some improvements. The Ford Island is a historic place. A lot of the wiring, a lot of the buildings cannot be touched. So some of the infrastructure is, it's got some issues, even though there's a fiber optic ring all the way around the island. And it's just really weird how the cable comes on. For many, many years, Ford Island was not connected to the main island of Oahu. And there is now, there's a causeway bridge that actually can open up and let Navy ships through. But so I don't have to take a ferry or anything back to, and it's only like a quarter of a mile, but we're kind of isolated out here, and it's real nice. But anyway, she couldn't do anything, so I'm kind of hurting right now with my upstream, so it gets a little painful in trying to get the podcast up on the website at the end of the day or an evening here when I'm recording this. Okay, what else have we got here? Oh. I don't know, a lot of you probably use Zone Alarm, Windows users that use Zone Alarm as a Windows firewall. I have been a Zone Alarm fan for many, many years and have used it exclusively on all of my machines. Well, as of, let's see here, Wednesday, Zone Alarm is no longer residing on any of my computers. I've had some issues in the last couple of updates. It seems like Zone Alarm has gotten too big for their britches, and they want to be a little of everything. They've got the mail. They check the mail. They just check. They got like 10 different things they look at now to make sure that you're being blocked correctly. Well, I've got an antivirus program. I don't need Zone Alarm reaching out and touching my email. And it basically when I did my last update, it updated and destroyed my email settings. It wouldn't allow me to go out and get email. I'd do everything I could to go through tech support and get some help, and they were just like no help at all. And I'd had some problems with them recently, and even though I probably still consider them the best firewall that's out there, it's gone. I took them off. So now I regrettably put Norton Personal Firewall on all my computers, and a little bit of an investment to do that. I hope I made the right choice. I'm sure some of you are going to call back to me and say, oh my God, what did you do? But that's what we did. And if any of you guys have connections with the people at Zone Alarm, you know, they lost a faithful customer. You know, I was paying the subscription fees every year and the whole nine yards, but it just goes to show you, customer service counts. And if the customer service sucks, guess what? I'm out of there. But anyway, we're going to talk a little more bit about customer service and the power of blogs. But first of all, I want to introduce this.
Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central.
We want to welcome a new sponsor to the show. This show is sponsored by PDALive.com. Again, PDALive.com, one of the premier PDA news and review and forum websites. Hey, folks, go out there and check them out, and we appreciate them being a sponsor.
And now, back to the Geek News Central podcast.
Yeah. You can tell I'm having fun with these little sweepers, aren't I? I hope you're enjoying them too. I'm just having fun. I'm like a little kid in a candy store. So you know how that is, guys, don't you? And gals. Okay, what else have we got? You know, I was sitting here getting ready to do the show, and I told my wife, I got to go brush my teeth. And she kind of looks at me kind of funny, and she goes, you know, why are you brushing your teeth now? You know, I know you're going to go downstairs and pound a Red Bull, and you're going to have a glass of iced tea here during the show. Why are you going to do that? I don't know. I think it's psychological, guys. I go out and I get ready to do this show, and it's almost like I need to brush my teeth, have a good, clean, fresh breath. It's like I'm talking to you directly. It's something about that. It's just weird. So I have minty fresh breath. So you don't have to be offended. You can get up and close to the speakers tonight. A little bit of discouraging news out of North Korea. And this is the only thing I'm going to say about this. But it's too bad that, you know, they went ahead and threw the nuclear card out and said, yeah, we're a nuclear power now. So deal with this one way or the other. And I don't know, it could get ugly, but we'll see what they do. We'll see what happens with that. But it's sad to see another country come out and say, yeah, we've got them. You know, what are we going to do? So I guess it's a world we live in. Okay, we're 13 minutes into the show, and guess what? I got to get into the news. So let's see here. I've had my news aggregator kind of minimized, so let's click it and see if the Adobe Edition, if it chokes when I do that. Let's see what happens here. Okay, maximize. Ah, we didn't get too much of a hit. We're okay. All right. In the news this week, we heard about this. Well, it's been going on for a little bit, but this guy named Mark Jen, he got fired. He worked at Google for a short while, and basically he was talking about his workplace and saying some discouraging or disparaging things, and he didn't last too long, and he got canned. It's kind of ironic because, you know, Google has the, you know, they own Blogger, and you would think any company that owns Blogger and tries to empower people through weblogs would want to encourage some amount of blogging and would be able to accept a certain amount of criticism, but obviously that is not the case. But it's too bad this guy got fired. But it just goes to show you, you better be careful what you say out there. And I think I've talked to you guys about this before. You know, the job I work in, I don't talk about it. I don't talk about what I do, where I go, when I go, any of the projects I'm on. It doesn't happen. If I see a news article that is even close to something related to my job, I just don't do it because, hey, I got a family to feed. And I value that job very much. I wouldn't want to lose it. So, you know, there are some things sometimes I want to say, but I don't. But that's the world we live in today. And, yeah, there's freedom of speech, but at what price? And I guess if you want to put your job on the line, you can do that. But beware, beware, beware. Okay, there's a lot of releasing going on over at the Mozilla. It looks like they're at the end of the Mozilla 1.8 beta. There's a lot of things that they've still got to do here, but they're going to be working on that. There's a whole bunch of projects going on over at Mozilla. And so hopefully here in the next couple of weeks or within a month, we're going to see Thunderbird come out and a new edition of Firefox. And it just goes on and on. They got a whole bunch of stuff. Gecko. Now, I haven't heard about SeaMonkey. What is SeaMonkey? Someone tell me what SeaMonkey is. That's something that they've, a project they've got going on too. Okay, you've all heard me talk about my Mini and some issues I've had with being able to record. I think I've narrowed it down to the iMic. I'm going to go out and I really hate to splurge and spend some money on a device that's going to cost almost as the iMini does, but there's a device out there that's $349 that is a FireWire interface. It's kind of like a mixer for a FireWire mixer, but I really want to give this Mini a chance. I'm still kind of pointing my finger at Apple saying, you know, you guys got to get your act together on all of your products. You know, the number one thing I hear from podcasters is that they are having issues with latency. You know, they can't talk into a mic and listen to their what they're saying on a pair of headsets. And when you're trying to coordinate doing a show, it's almost impossible to do. And I do appreciate the comments back from everyone that are Mac users and asking me, thanking me for being fair. And, you know, I'm keeping myself open, and I'm willing to spend a few dollars to see what this thing can really do. In the meantime, I did, like I said on the last show, the Mini was the backup for the recording, and I did do some comparisons. I used Hijack Audio Pro, and I was scolded today by, not necessarily scolded, but those of you that are using Audio Hijack Pro for your podcast, you need to think about that a little bit. Get Audacity working or do it in GarageBand. I think you're losing a lot of quality by doing it in Audio Hijack. It's very convenient, makes recordings go very quickly. It's a no-brainer, but I think you're sacrificing quality for that. Now, I might be wrong, but the guy I talked to is pretty adamant that Audio Hijack just probably was not. You know, it's you know, they're trying to make some changes to make it better, but, you know, I liked it because it was convenient. But so I am trying a different program tonight, so we'll see how. I'll do a comparison on them at the end and see what happens. Now, I am doing this show again with no filters. We're running everything live, and when I get done, I will shut the recording off and immediately start to encode, and we'll see what happens there. Now, on the big blog company.net website, there is a article about, in the title of it says, Bloggers Send a Warning Shot to Corporate America. And basically what happening is, and it talks about an incident happened with some people not liking what was going on with their cell phones with Verizon and how some cell phones got locked down and how one innocent blog post turned into a tidal wave of complaints that turned into a lawsuit. You know, I think just like my zone alarm issue, you know, if we've got problems in the blog sphere, we need to call these companies out. So that's why I'm asking all of you that are listening to this podcast, if you've got a tip or a problem, call me on it. Send me an email. Let me know, good or bad. And we're going to put it up. And, you know, and then I'm going to call you guys to arms. I'm going to say, here's a post about what the problem is that this person's having trouble. Let's get the word out. Those of you that are web bloggers that are listening to this podcast, or you guys can spread the word to your coworkers. You know, this median, you know, how many people do each of us know? We all know quite a few people. So if we gang up together and make these companies hear what we're having to say and the problems we're having with them, we can hold their feet to the fire and bring them to task. You know, the power of this is could be astronomical. You know, some you see television stations doing it where they have a spotlight on a person that has a problem, or you see a radio station that does it, they go after, or some of the big tech companies. I know Ziff Davis is an advocate for computer users and consumers, and they go after companies when people are having trouble. Well, guess what? Web bloggers and podcasters, we've got a voice too, and we can do the same thing. So let's band together and let's hold these people and hold these companies' feet to the fire. So if you've got a consumer problem, doesn't matter if it's tech or not, bring it to me. I'll get the word out, and we will we'll see if we can spread the word and get a fire lit. Okay. On USA Today. Hey, a great article on podcasting. But, you know, I got a call from a potential advertiser today. And he says to me, he says, hey, we're looking to advertise with you. And the company is a fairly substantial company, a big name company, matter of fact. It's a company that if they come on board as an advertiser, and I hope you guys are, hope the company is listening, we want you to be an advertiser, is going to ignite the podcasting world. If they come on board, it'll be great. But anyway, the first thing this guy asked me today, he says, your show isn't like Don and Drew, is it? And, you know, Don and Drew, they've got a show. It meets a certain medium. But obviously, advertisers are concerned about us out here in podcasting / web blogging land in our commentary. Now, he said he had listened to a couple of shows, but he wanted to make sure that we weren't going to go off theme. And I just don't know, you know, they Don and Drew do a great show, but let's, you know, come on. Some of the stuff they say does not reflect well on the rest of the podcasting community. You know, I'm sure I'm going to get some feedback for this. They're going to say, hey, that's their thing. It's what they do. And that's all for it. I'm not here to tell them what they can or can't do. That's not what this is all about. But I think that some of us should band together and have some sort of a little code of ethics saying how we're going to be and what we're going to do and what we're going to say, and so that advertisers can come in and support us, and supporting us by bringing their dollars to us allow us to do better things for the community, bring new features, bring, you know, I'd like to do this thing full time. I'd love to bring you guys 5 shows a week. I don't know if I could do 40 minutes 5 days a week, but I sure would try. So, I don't know. That's kind of my, you know, I love the publicity that podcasting's getting. I'm very, very happy for Don and Drew. I'm happy for everyone that got mentioned. You know, it's wonderful. But those of us that are not doing that type of content probably need to come up with some sort of standard of conduct. I hate to say that. That is just so... doesn't make me feel right. But anyway, I think we talked about this once before. And Don and Drew, if you're listening, hey, you guys, you know, keep on doing what you're going to do. I understand where you're coming from. So, enough on that. Okay, let's see what else we got here. I think we talked about the Firefox threat already. And unfortunately, there's not a really good fix right now. There is a vulnerability that can allow the URL displayed in the address bar and of a secure socket layer certificate to be spoofed. This basically means that your browser and others are vulnerable to phishing attacks. And the flaw affects all browsers built using the open source Gecko browser kernel. And this time around, Internet Explorer is not vulnerable to attack. So, be careful out there. And I know the Firefox crew is really looking at this close, the Mozilla group is, and they're going to hopefully get us a fix. And I know there's been a couple of quasi-fixes that have been suggested, but I haven't been able to get anything that totally sticks yet, so we'll see what happens there. Okay, what else? Oh, Newsburst. It's a new service that's being offered, and it kind of is funny as it says Newsburst. What is Newsburst? Newsburst is a personalized tool that tracks virtually any type of information on the web, news, blog, shopping lists, weather, search results, alerts, auctions, and more. I'm underwhelmed. It kind of reminds me of News is Free. It looks just like News is Free. Matter of fact, I wonder if they copied News is Free. I don't know, but this is by CNET. And, yeah, interesting. Interesting to say the least. But go over there and check it out. Let us know what you feel about. Okay. How many of you guys are using or have used BitTorrent to download some media that probably you shouldn't have downloaded? I hope that you didn't use the LokiTorrent website. I'm going to put a link up to the LokiTorrent website because the MPAA now own the LokiTorrent website. They own the logs to the LokiTorrent website. Here's a question for you guys. If you're going to run a BitTorrent tracker site, and you know, as the owner of that site, that questionable material is being hosted on there, hello, why would you ever save the log files? Are they idiots? Come on. They had to know that someone was going to come after them sooner or later. And they could have had a policy in place from day one. Could have been an easy decision to turn off logging. You know, why did they have it on? I don't understand. I do not condone illegal sharing of files and music. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of people now. The MPAA is going to do just like the RIAA did. They're going to go through. They're going to find out the IPs and the times. And they're going to find out who the biggest abusers were. And guess what, folks? You're going to have lawsuits being put on people's doorsteps. Oh, this is bad. This is really bad. And it's just, you know, fair warning. You know, not only that, the Grokster, the trial that's going on with that, and log files. Oh, my God. You know, it's amazing. But on possibly better news, there is an article in Engadget that says during Steve Jobs' interview that he had on, I believe it was Fortune, and we highlighted that in our site a few days ago, that he's been approached by three other companies wanting to license OS X. I got yelled at for calling it OS X, so sorry, but it's OS X. He's been approached. Now, he doesn't say whether or not he's going to license it to someone, and if he does, it'll be a hit, it'll be a home run, but I don't know. You know, they've been so anal retentive in keeping everything in-house. I don't know if they will. I really don't. If they do, they may have a serious competitor on their hand. They really might. You know, you open the operating system up to Sony, Dell, you know. Stand by for news, folks. Okay. Now, what else do I have here? Oh, here's something else that's going on about movies. Apparently, researchers at Royal Philips Electronics are developing a new fingerprinting technology. And all this is going to do is it's when movie houses make movies, they're going to interlay within the digital stream of that movie a fingerprint. And basically what that fingerprint will be able to be done is internet service providers, hosting companies, etc., they can sniff their IP stream and be able to detect when one of these files is being transferred and cut it off midstream. It's more digital rights management. It's a way to control what is being shared on the internet. It looks to me like, you know, they're stepping up the battle. You know, movie studios, if they have their way here in the next couple of weeks or months, they're going to have I don't know exactly when it's going to go down, but there is a brief that's going on at the Supreme Court, which is going to basically possibly turn over the Betamax ruling. Now, those of you that are not familiar with the Betamax ruling is what is it allows you to have a VHS in your home. A number of years ago, the Motion Picture Association said, oh my God, if people are allowed to have VHSs in their houses, it's going to destroy the movie industry. So they went to court fighting to have Betamax and VHS type technology basically slam dunk removed so they couldn't be produced. So the goal of these RIAA, MPAA, ASCAP, BMI, all these groups and all the major studios is they want their content to be 100% secure all the time, eliminate fair use, eliminate the ability of people to make copies of movies that they've legitimately bought. You know, you guys can tell I'm passionate about this because I've talked enough about it. But here is another article. Daily we're seeing stuff. So if you have not actively taken a role with your congressperson or your person that represents you in the House of Representatives, you need to start getting involved. And donation to Electronic Frontier Foundation can help too. And there's several lobbyist groups out there that probably could use our support as well. So again, you know, let's keep an eye out, watch for these. You know, it's not going to be long before we're going to lose all our rights to do anything. All right, and I've got two or three articles I pulled up today on this whole Loki torrent and stuff. So I've got two or three things I've scanned through. There's a great piece on Tech Dirt. I'll link that up for you. Okay, imagine that you're sitting in front of your computer and you're doing a Google search on your name, and it comes up that you are on a kidnapping site, that you have been kidnapped. Let's say you're 16 years old, and all of a sudden you find out the dad or mom that you've been living with has actually took you from your significant or from your other parent and has fled with you. Apparently this has happened a few times. And a 16-year-old found himself on a missing child report, and he saw his image staring back at him. And it talks about what people with amnesia finding themselves in the whole nine yards. So, wow, totally, totally amazing. So hopefully that parent gets what he deserves and can go to jail. I know there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people out there, and there's a lot of different stories. But, man, I knew if my wife and I have talked to, you know, jokingly about it to one another, you're not going to run off with the kids, are you? You know, like, but anyway, hey, what would you think if your kids go to school and they come home and were wearing a new badge or wearing a new bracelet or something that had an RFID chip in it that's tracking them? You know, they're doing this in Japan already. It's been going on for a while. I don't know if I'd want my kids to be wearing an RFID chip. Obviously, it's a static device. It doesn't transmit. But it can track where the kids go. And with the right type of devices, I would imagine, this is speculation on my part, probably could intercept those queries. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, we've heard about people out, I believe it's in Minnesota. Public officials are getting RFID chips implanted underneath their skin to access security terminals on computers. No way. You talk about being marked. You know, that's just got, that's got biblical, you know, what can I say there? It's got biblical implications. That's what I was looking for. All right. On IT Conversations, I talked to Doug Kay. Hey, Doug, I know you're in Maui. I hope you... I didn't talk to him, sent him some email. I told him if he was over here in Oahu that I would buy him a beer and his wife a island tropical drink. Now, that goes for any of the listeners out there. If any of you guys come out to Hawaii, let us know you're coming, and I will come down and buy you a cocktail of your choice. But anyway, he was sending me some email while on vacation. And I said, after I replied a couple of times, I told him, Doug, turn the computer off. I didn't use a little more aggressive language, and he hasn't sent me an email back. But, hey, I see a note on here. It's a little old on his website that they were did a little shopping around for underwriting, for financing, for IT Conversations. It looks like he got a few bites. Hey, Doug, if you do listen to this, tell me how I can get a few bites, all right? But good going for IT Conversations. I'm glad to see that that is going on, and hopefully they get some funding. Okay, hackers sued for tinkering with Xbox games. Can you believe this? You buy a game, you buy a Xbox, you tinker it with yourself. You've done this in the privacy of your own home. Now, apparently, there was some way that they were able to do something out on the net or whatever. It was able to show up that they were not doing what they were supposed to, or they were buying mod kits that they weren't supposed to. But it says here, in the first case of its kind, a California video game maker is suing an entire community of software tinkers for reverse engineering and modifying Xbox games that they legally purchased. So, okay, you can't reverse engineer anymore? I know a lot of foreign countries that do a lot of reverse engineering of American equipment. What do American companies do about it? Not a lot. Okay, gosh. When will it end? All right. I put a post up on the website today, or this evening, matter of fact, that talks... I read this post in Boing Boing, and it talks about... You guys all know that I was an old BBS guy. I had a bulletin board up during the dial-up days. As a matter of fact, the bulletin board is still online today, and it's online. It's not available via dial-up, and it's at bbsnets.com. And apparently what Cory Doctorow, or however you pronounce his name, he's a regular poster there on Boing Boing. Of course, one of the major posters. He was just totally amazed that someone had built an interface to go between a Lynx BBS package, which I honestly have never heard of, and a PHP form software package called Simple Machines that allowed him to read FidoNet messages with his web browser. Oh, hello? This was like a realization. This has been going on for 9 years. We've been online for 9 years with our bulletin board system on the internet, where you've been able to log in via your web browser and read FidoNet news messages or message conference areas. I'm like, I guess he's been on the internet. He hasn't been looking around too much for bulletin boards. Just, you know, this comes as this big surprise. You know, he talks about Tom Jennings, and I just have to kind of, this is kind of interesting here, because I have to do some research on this. It says, I was hooked on Tom Jennings' amazing FidoNet system for linking message boards across dial-up BBSs. I once had the mind-blowing experience of hearing Tom, Tim Pozar, and John Gilmore tell the story of the day that Tim installed the code at John's ISP that connected Usenet and FidoNet for the first time, a kind of last bite for the information super railroad. I remember that day. FidoNet was optimized for linking up conversations at a distance in places where long-distance calls cost a lot and didn't work so well. And that makes it ideally suited to the less developed world where FidoNet is still in use. It is still in use. It's big time in Russia, a lot of third-world countries, a lot of countries where dial-up is expensive. There's still a lot of traffic on the message boards. And hey, Corey, a lot of us here in the United States are still running boards. And I think I pulled some stats off the server. Let's see what I can get. Let me go up to the server. I left the server running because I'm getting hit pretty hard with it. Okay, let me bring the stats up here. Oh, wrong mouse. Too many mouses in the house tonight. And currently on the bulletin board, there have been 27,756,997 calls. There's 185,318 files. There's 786,040 messages. There is 23,640 some users. Oh, that isn't right. And today alone, there's been 115 new shareware files upload. And within the last 10 days, there's been 8,082 calls for an old bulletin board system that is web-capable, has been web-capable, and will be web-capable to the day I take it down. Can you tell I was kind of on a rant? You guys can hear my beeping here. I'm switching keyboards. I got that double-tap the scroll mouse and the down button. All right, we're 39 minutes. Time to wrap up the show. I've got one. Oh, I don't have any more articles. Hey, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, I'm the Geek Todd, and you can reach me at geeknewscentral.com, geek@geeknewscentral.com. You can call the voicemail line at 619-619-619. 347-342-7365. Or you can call me on Skype, and a lot of you have been. And I have actually, that's what I forgot to do tonight. I forgot to pull up some of those voicemail comments. I was going to play them from the voicemail. I know a bunch of you called. I promise, next Tuesday, I'll play some of those. And we're going to leave you with a little music. What the heck, we're at 40 minutes. I'm just going to play that intro for you one more time. I'll leave some dead spot for you so that you can cut that out if you want to pull it out of the MP3. We're going to put it up as a download on the website. So here's that intro, and then we'll introduce our independent showcase of the day.
Your attention, please. A new edition of the Geek News Central podcast is online now. Be sure to visit www.geeknewscentral.com to subscribe or pick up the latest show. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 to have your comments heard. Or call the host directly on Skype. His Skype call sign is Geek News Central. As always, this is a show you are not going to want to miss. Once again, a new podcast by the geek at Geek News Central. www.geeknewscentral.com is available now.
Okay, today's music artist is Spinecar, and the song is Sanchez.
Is this your definition of music?
To turn the volume up.
These guys are the best.
As we kick off today's showcased independent music artist.
I know you want a little rock. Here's a little rock for you.
Choice. Waiting here.
Oh man, a little hard tonight. That was a little much too hard rock. But anyway, that was a Magnitude compilation, and we want to thank the folks over at Magnitude for opening up their music repository for all the podcasters out there as a Creative Commons performance. And as always, folks, thanks for listening. We'll see you on Tuesday next week, and maybe, who knows, maybe we'll have a few new surprises for you. But I'm Todd the Geek, signing off. Geek News Central Podcast. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.